Yeah, so if it's not good, you can blame all three of us. It's not just my fault, right? I love that. It gives you cover. Yes, that's right. And Joy, we rejoice with you and this grandson. Renee, we continue to pray for you. The koinonia, it's a fellowship's a beautiful thing, isn't it? And sometimes that as you go through things, God deepens. And I think that's where we're at as a church, and God's deepening us. Lyndall, one of our deacons, has corrected me, so I stand today corrected. I said something accidentally the other day. I always bring the Bible up here because I say, even though I don't need it, I need it. What I mean is the scripture is written in here. Thank you, Lyndall, for saying that. But it's symbolic to me to say this. I know nothing outside of this, right? And so as we struggled this week, the three of us, because I was supposed to, I'd looked at it at first and I thought I could get through 11 into the circumcision of what I would call the soul. We're not going to make it there today. And it was interesting because, Brad, I felt like this week, this is kind of like a coaching sermon, almost. And I love FCA and what it does. It's our, you know, really, and I've said this before, coaching is probably our last entrance of discipline into the school system. You think about it. So anyway, Chuck, I appreciate your testimony today. I'm not very happy with you, but anyway, they're moving eventually, right? Was I supposed to say that, or is that okay? No, I wasn't supposed to say it? Okay. Yeah. Anyway, but love you guys. What a faithful family that you've been. And so, anyway, we love you guys. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10 today. My question today is, you had your V8, okay? I like to pull out old references today. I pulled out Patty Hearst. No one in the entire Sunday school knew what I was talking about. And I always enjoy doing references with the young'uns in Sunday school. A few of the olders are in here going, how did he remember Patty Hearst? Yes. We're going to talk a little bit about that today because we, like we talked about in Sunday school, can be captured. And she suffered a little bit, if you believe the entire story. Once she had been captured, she became like her captors. And so I want to give you a summary first, and then we're going to read the scripture in just a second. But if you look at your notes, I should have had my V8, as the saying goes, right? I should have known what was in verse 8. Don't be captured, kidnapped, or beguiled by philosophies and delusions and temporary elements of this world. Be captured by Christ and captivated by his word. If you would, let's stand up together. Look for this summary as we read these verses together. I better look up here and get the version that's up here. I do like to look at different ones. I think the CSB does a good job in this one. Let's begin together. Be careful that no one takes you captive through the philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elements of the world rather than Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him who is the head over every ruler and authority. Amen. And in a time and place when we see rulers and authorities that are not abiding by the word of God, today will be a good reminder that even so, they are still under his authority. As things look sometimes bleak in society, I got a piece of good news today. Those of you know I follow Barna, some of the religious research, about 42% of men in that bracket under 40, those 35 and under, you're starting to go to church at least twice a month. In shocking revelation, men actually outpace women in younger groups. There is something good happening. The men are returning. That's what's going to have to happen for this nation to turn. Remember, the founders of this nation were in their 20s and 30s. Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration. He was 33 years old, okay? And so for those in my Sunday school, right, Chandler? What are you doing, okay? If you hadn't written the Declaration of Independence, you really haven't done anything, right? Yeah, makes my haiku, Andy, not look very good, right? Anyway, let's start to look at this, and I want to look at this summary, and I want to examine these words. I'm going to spend the disproportionate amount of time, because that's what happened this week, on verse 8. Verse 9 and 10, we spent a lot of time, and what's nice about having the three of us is I totally trust that next week, I think Andy, you're on, right? He will delve into the circumcision of the soul and connect those things in the Old Testament. He'll do a great job. But today, I want to be careful to look at being careful and what's happening. All right, so let's look at being careful, literally. As today I had spread out over the dining room table, you know, the inline Greek and the notes and the Webster's Dictionary and all that, as I look at this and I'm back and forth with these guys, I just had a hard time this week because I think there's a great warning in here for us. So number one, the first words there, be careful. Literally, and this is used over 150 times in the New Testament, literally to see that word. He's saying to us, perceive, notice, regard, pay attention, beware, watch, be on guard. There is a delusion in the land. Would you agree with that today? Do you think there's a great delusion? I think so too. People are deluded. In fact, some people don't even, they make up things online. They're not living in reality, right? Remember, we've talked about that in to be in reality is to be in truth, right? To be insane is to be out of reality. The Word of God is God's reality. When you are insane, you are in sin because you are not in God's reality. We fall into sin because we prefer our own philosophies, our own ways of thinking. We have rejected God's thinking, and He's telling us here today to be careful. Let's look at chapter 1. I've written these out again. This is man's interpretation. I'm giving you some of the verses, but it gets us to where we're going today. And I wrote this out for you. Chapter 1, as I walked back through this week, he writes to the separated, the hagios, remember that, and the faithful. Be filled with his will and his spiritual understanding. I threatened Michelle today I was going to bring the pipe back, all right? I didn't bring it back, but let's remember those valves, right? When God opens the valve to the Spirit, we have to continue to allow that to flow into the soul. When we quench the Spirit, we begin to close that valve. We allow the flesh to flow back in. And he's telling us to be separated, be filled with his will, spiritual understanding. Walk worthy. Walk worthy of the blood that was shed on the cross for us. Increase in your knowledge of God. Remember, Christ is the invisible image, even though we're not going to get into Gnosticism and all the things that Paul's writing about, but know this, Christ is the image of what we cannot see. All things are by him and for him. He is the head of the church. And in Christ, all the fullness dwells, and we have peace. Right? People are always looking for, I want peace. You cannot have the peace of God until you have peace with God. And the peace that he's talking about came from the war that we were engaged in. We were at war with God, right? Romans 5:8, and this is love, that while we were yet sinners, enemies of Christ, that he died for us, he shed his blood, he made the peace available to us, and now we can experience peace. Continue in the faith then. You know the mystery that has been hidden from the ages and is now revealed to you, the mystery that Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, would come, appear in the flesh, be sacrificed for man, would rise from the dead, and would reign forever. That's the great mystery. So let's get back, though. We're told to be careful. Why is that? Well, you guys will know where I'm going with this. What is this threat from the beginning? There are three words there, I think, if you want to write these down. Three words as we start to look at this, being careful about what's going on. The first word is guile. It means to disguise carefully. Anybody know where we're going? Beguile, from the Hebrew, to lead astray or to seduce, to delude by amazement. Literally, this is what really got me, to cause one to forget. You forget yourself because we're not in the Word. Number three, to delude is to lead from the truth. Where am I going? What am I referencing? It's Genesis, right? It's the serpent who disguises himself. I thought about Ruth this week, who said famously, right, entreat me not to leave you, right? Why would we leave the one who has died on the cross for us, right? Because we get drawn away. We get deluded. We begin to forget the truth because we're not in the truth. Listen, our natural course, right, as we've done marital counseling over the years, we tell people, natural course in marriage is to be led apart, not together. The world is at war. Do you not understand that? And so the intention has to be together. And as our relationship with Christ, right? Christ and the church, Ephesians 6, that's that great marriage. We have to intentionally spend time in the Word, or we're going to be led away, led astray, beguiled, deluded. So then I can ask you this question. Why did man fall? Was he tricked? No. He was beguiled or deluded. Well, then it's Satan's fault, right? Well, the Scripture's clear. 2 Thessalonians 2. They perish because they refuse to love the truth. You see, our flaws are within us. We don't like to admit that. The outside too often reveals what's on the inside. We go because we ultimately deceive ourselves. We turn off that spiritual spigot of truth to satisfy the flesh. We are tempted within. We only find the reasons without. Another old reference for you. Flip Wilson, you remember the old comedian, right? His famous saying was, "The devil made me do it," right? We love excuses. No, what happens is when our soul begins to dry up because we've turned off that spigot, the flesh becomes more and more powerful, and we find excuses and we find reasons. But we know this, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he reap. So now go back to your scripture and look. Are we sowing truth or philosophy and empty words and worldly ideas? Are we in fact children? Let's be careful. Are we acting like children? Let's look through a child's eyes for just a minute and let's ask if this is us. Okay, children can be taken captive or kidnapped. Okay, I thought about Andy. I thought about doing a video this week, but I thought, well, I didn't know if it was children's church, okay? Probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen in movie history is the child catcher. From Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Has anybody ever seen that? Wow. That and the 1970s Left Behind. I still am scarred as a child from seeing those two movies. Those of you who have not seen it, do not show that movie. Do not show Chitty Chitty Bang Bang to your children. But if you remember that, children were against the law, and so they go to this town, and the parents, right, they warn the two children, right, stay in here, don't come out. And the child catcher comes out, and what's he offer? Handy lollipops, right? I have free lollipops for everyone. And so the children, you know, they start to talk about this. Remember, our parents told us, don't go after that. Can you hear? Be careful. Don't pursue vain philosophies. Can you hear it? And yet, there they go, and they're up, and they're out, and the child catcher, and he goes up into the little paddy wagon. You remember that? And as soon as they go in, he slams the door, and all the decorations fall off, and they realize we're in a prison. We're in jail, right? That's what happens to us. The enemy, right? He promises these great things. We get in, the door closes, and we realize I'm captured. How do we avoid that? We stay in the Word. So let's go through those four words real quick. Philosophy, what are those? You'll have a couple of blanks here. We're going to have a quiz afterwards, so make sure you're filling these in, okay? Philosophy is enticing words. We've had this a couple of times in this, but plausible arguments. That comes from the Latin applause. We like to be applauded. We like to people to say, I agree with you, or I think you're smart, or that's a really good point. You see, it's not always this really overt evil stuff that we get caught in. We get slowly deluded into, look at that. People like me. Number one, don't use men's philosophy for the, in your blank, approval of others. We, like children, seek approval, right? Your kids, they say, did I do good? Do you like? Are you proud of me, right? You know all those papers that you saved were of the age now, right, Michelle? We go back. We've got two boys, 30, and we've got one, 19, but we go back, and you know all those things you save with the popsicle sticks that made the crosses and all those, and you look back now, right, and they're terrible. They're not good. This is not good art. We knew early on that at least one of ours had no artistic ability at all, and he used to write everything backwards. I won't tell you his name, but I will say this. He made a bracelet one day that said, "Hair You," and I'll just leave it at that because that's what happened, okay? But we look for approval, so we told him, "That's a great job. You did a great job on that." Kids look for approval. Number two, empty deceit. All right, this is going to get a little more adult-like. It's the lure of wealth. Ooh, that one, yeah, I know. That one's tough, isn't it? I give you the scriptures there. I won't go through all of those. And it's a hardened deceitfulness. The more we engage, the harder the heart gets, right? That's Romans chapter. That's that callousing of the heart. We continue to take it in, and the more that we love that money, we love that wealth, we love that power, we love that approval, the harder that the heart gets. And we are all susceptible. Number three, human traditions, he says in there. Those would be our cultural expectations. We have a few of those, don't we? How about this? Everybody's doing it, right? Everybody, it's what everybody does. And finally, elements of the world. What are these? And I spent a lot of time on this. They're the elements of bondage, the powerless, the temporary. It's the flesh warring against the spirit. Everything, though, that we grasp and hold on to will someday disappear when there's a new heaven and earth. We're holding on. Jim Elliot, this is not in your notes, famously said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Don't hold on to foolish things. All right, next, children. Let's look at the way that they love, okay? And this will be a little bit deeper for us, but I want you to really start to think about this. A childlike love is self-serving. It desires to grab, if you will, the desires of another person. Not just the person. They don't just want their attention, but they want you to be focused on them. I want you to pay attention to me. A couple of things. Hold me. Kids ever say that? Hold me. I want you to want me. Right, as the old rock song goes, I want your mind, I want your will, I want your emotions. We don't often want other people as much as we want them to want us. Does that make, we want to capture them. If you really examine this, it'll start making you, that's right. I'm trying to, just like in the garden, Satan was attempting to capture the desires of man. And that's where we have to avoid as we look at this scripture. Second, again, they ask us to applaud or clap from them. If you applaud me, I'll applaud you, right? You clap for me, right? You know a little, right? Then I clap for you. It's the plausible argument. How about this? I'll play with you if you'll play with me. The lure of friendship. Well, if you're going to play with them, I won't play with you, right? That's what's something that we talked about here today is we've noticed the fellowship, right? Isn't that refreshing? And that's how it ought to be is we ought to all be loving each other, right? No cliques, as I used to tell the kids in eighth grade. Had got in trouble for that one time because the girls asked me, you know, we're doing this, and they had a little girl isolated, and I said, you're a clique. So I got to meet with some parents over that, and they said, you can't say that. I said, why not? It's true. Why do we isolate some kids and leave the others out, right? And that's what happens. We do that, but here it should not be so against God, within God's people. How about this? I'll give you something. The lure of wealth or power. It's childish, but yet we can see it in our own lives. Or this one. Everybody's doing it. And we go back. How many of you get frustrated because you go back to it over and over again? I'll tell you, I promise myself every time I go out in the pasture, I will not get angry. I will not get angry, and I will not get angry. And then I'll go out, and some calf has got his head stuck in a bale feeder with no way to get out, and I'm either going to have to get a welding torch to, you know, cut that thing. And I think to myself, I promise not to get angry. This is a dumb animal. And God has to look down sometime with a little bit of entertainment with me and think, who's really the dumb one here? Right? Anyway. We go back to it. It's kind of like the old adage. The fool's bandaged finger always goes back to the fire. We return to the vomit. The sow goes back to the mire, right? We always do the same thing. I get so frustrated with myself. Why? Because what I have to realize is, before I go out, the neighbor calls and says the cows are out. Jacob, is there a worse phrase in the English language? The cows are out. Oh, boy. And then we have a subdivision behind us, and somebody will call and say, the cows are out, and they're in my yard. They're eating my grass. I think, I know. I hate it when the cows are out, right? Because they may go to the highway and get hit, or they, you know, whatever. I hate it when the cows are out. But what I should do is I should stop and say, Lord, you know those cows are out. I need your help. Otherwise, I'm going to be chasing them all over the place, right? And they're going to go, what do they do every time? They go right up to the gate, and then they go the other way. That's right. Oh, and you think it's right there. And God smiles and says, I lead you through the word. You go right to the gate, and then you don't go in. Maybe it's about teaching me lessons. Next one, C, founded in Christ and his love, his agape love, right? Different than a child's love, Christ's love is self-sacrificing. That's what we're called to do as a church, to replicate what he's doing. It serves to the discipling of another person. One of my favorite scriptures over there in Hebrews, we are to provoke, right? To poke each other to what? Love and good works. We want to spur each other on. Will we continue as children? So we didn't plan this. We've been talking about education a little bit today. In the Latin, actually, that means to be let out of ignorance. We are bound in ignorance, or as we know, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. That's right. I used that one a lot. My kids were growing up. But I want to read you, this is how far we've departed sometimes as a nation. The very first public school law, Brad, as you talked today about FCA, I didn't know you were going to do today, and this is the very first law. I went through it, and I gave you some highlights. Read this with me. Can you imagine today if we would have this law? The chief aim or project of the old deluder Satan is to what? Keep men from the knowledge of the scriptures. To cloud the true sense and meaning of the original. And with false glosses or pictures, he presents saint-seeming deceivers. To that end, this is what they said about schools, learning may not be buried in the grave, the Lord will assist our endeavors. That they must teach children the scriptures so that they could be ready for the delusions of the old deluder, Satan. Can you imagine? You say, oh, I wish it could be that way today. It can be. You and everyone in here are a homeschooler of your kids or your grandkids. They may go to public school, but you get them some. And everybody can read the scriptures. Everybody can spend time and say to them, there is a deluder coming. He will present himself as someone who looks just like a saint, because we know that the angels of darkness parade as angels of light. That's right. They shape and shift themselves to appear into things that we are attracted to. Teach your children to be careful. That's this scripture as we continue to say, be careful. Do not have discernment. Truth from falsehood, vice from virtue, there is power in biblical, godly perception. Make sure that your kids have it. The word does not return void. All right. Whew. That was a long time on that verse, wasn't it? But he's saying to us, be careful. If you get one thing today, get that. Look at that verse and say, we have got to open our eyes. The delusion is among us. Put down the phones. Put down the computers. All right, as I talked to one of our reps, they passed a law about 14 and above and about helping kids, child predators and stuff online. I applaud it, but it's not enough, because the hook is in our elementary schools when the kids are online and they're on computers and they're doing that. Put the word of God in their hands, put the computer aside, and teach them that the delusions are about us. Okay, kind of a practical thing. I'm going to look at these two verses. I got verse 10 on the left, verse 9 on the right. I know that's backwards, but let's see if it makes sense, okay? Verse 10 talks about our purpose fulfilled in Christ. That's how I kind of condense this. Verse 9, about the mystery fulfilled. So let's compare these. You were, are, and will be. You're justified, you're sanctified, and you're glorified as a believer. We look at Christ. He was and is to come. He has been revealed, he is resurrected, and he will return. If you're not, to go back to what Andy did a great teaching a couple weeks ago, then you're not knit. If you're not a believer, you're not being knit together, welded together, forced together. That was a great teaching, right? I'm not sure about the crocheting, but anyway, I'm looking to see if maybe Dwayne will get into crocheting a little bit, okay? We need to be knit together, but folks, we cannot have unity devoid of the truth. You see, unity for unity's sake is all going to lead us down the broad path. We have to be unified in the truth. So that's why we have to be together in discipling one another and challenging one another. And his mystery is this: you don't know who you don't know. And what I mean by that is, yes, you've been introduced to Christ when you're saved, but we, just like in a marriage, have to grow every day in our knowledge of him and to know him, right? What's the scripture say? And the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of the resurrection. That's to know Christ in that way. To know him is to know our created purpose. The church then is the body of Christ. He was bound so that we may be bound in him. The fellowship, the, if you will, koinonia, this ecclesia that we have, right? We have liberty and freedom. But I want you to think about those two terms. We were liberated when we were justified. Before you're liberated, before you're saved, you are a slave to sin. Romans is very clear about that. But after you are liberated, now we have to use our freedom to be sanctified. What we often do, though, is we take the liberation, we stick a card in our pocket, we say, I got to get out of jail free, and now I can live as I please. That was the old man, right? The challenge now is for us to live as Christ and to live sanctified. How do we see that in our ordinances? We went through this last week. We did the Lord's Supper, right? In baptism, that's our public profession. That's where we talk about our justification. But we continually remember him through the Lord's Supper, through communion, through fellowship, and mutual confession, right? If we confess our sins one to another, this came up in Sunday school today, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a continual confession. Every epistle that Paul, Bob, it was interesting you pointed that out today, every one of them, grace and peace, right? Grace is unmerited justification. But peace actually in the Greek has a binding part of that definition. So now we are bound. Yes, we were freed, but now we are bound with him in sanctification and to one another. As Andy encouraged us, let's continue to be bound together. Challenge one another with the word. How are you doing in the word? Where are you reading? What are you studying right now? Let's think about how God's perspective is. We have to challenge one another. When justified, we are bound to be completed in sanctification. That's your blank. We are bound to be completed. All right, as I look at chapter 2 then, our hearts, our souls, our minds, right, are forced together, as Andy said, in love, with full persuasion and understanding of who God is. That's how we see this mystery. We begin to see it. We perceive it because we're studying it. In fact, in Christ are hidden the treasures of humanity. Where are they hidden? In Christ. You cannot find them outside of Christ. You can't be a Christian and go around walking in the world. I've told you my story before. 21, it's the best thing ever happened to me. Steve Love said to me, you believe the word? Sure I do. Yeah. You ever read all of it? Folks, we need that. We need to challenge one another. Are we opening the word? Studying in our homes, provoking one another, telling our children. I'm right in the middle of it. I got two adults and I'm saying to them, let your decisions be guided by the word. When you pray, pray the word. You know, if you're out there struggling, say, I pray, man, I just don't hear. Listen, start reading the word. The spirit will open up and your soul will become engrafted with him. Allow the word to lead us in that. Relationship, yes, okay? But we need that relationship within the soul where he welds our emotions, our will, our mind together with him so that we're not led astray like little children. I'm going to keep going back to that. Be careful. Be careful. Don't let your emotions lead you, okay? My dating advice for everybody, including my own kids, is every time that my boys have, I say, is she a believer? Yeah, well, I went. It's just first date. I don't know. You can't do that, right? You got to know that first. Because if you don't, you'll let your emotions get in front of you. And then you're like a cow, right? You're like an old bull. You just put a ring in the nose, lead them around wherever they want. I can take a 2,500-pound animal and lead them anywhere I want, right? I can open that gate, throw some feed in the trough. Here they come, right? Because we're enslaved by our emotions. Do not let your emotions. Speaking of myself, I go out to those cows. Don't let my emotions be the thing that drive me. Take just a few minutes and say, Lord, lead me. Lead me in this. You are in charge. Okay, let's finish this up then. As we look at this completion, this revelation of the mystery, now we see in these two verses, the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily. Okay, there were false beliefs. I'm not going to go into them, okay? But this is the truth. Jesus Christ is completely God. He's all God, he's all man, and that's all we need to know. I won't spend time going into the heresies. Just know this. He is in himself full and complete. Okay? And the Word of God reveals the will of God and keeps us in the way of God. And he is the Word. So if you want to know Jesus, you got to be in the Word. Period. So Christology, we've been through this before, Christ, Messiah, the Word, is the study of Christ through the Word that we might understand. What do we need to understand? Here's a few things. He is the image of invisible God. How do you see God? We don't need a painting of Jesus that we're all familiar with. We need to read the Word. That gives us the picture. Don't look for movies and TV shows. I'm not trying to step on any toes, but read the Word. I don't care what somebody portrays as this is how he would have acted. You got to read the Word to know who he was. He is deity clothed in humanity. Anything that does not bear his image is not from him. Okay? Now I'm going to step. Can I take 10 seconds to step aside? I don't care if they parade somebody from the UFO files and they whatever. If it doesn't look like human beings, it's not from God. We are the crown of his creation. Okay? So that's probably just my personal, but there was a void, there was nothing, and then there was. That's God. Everything comes from him. Do not be deluded, okay? Because I'm waiting for the day that they parade something out and say, this is a higher being, listen to this. And it's some 3-foot green person that, okay, no. That's not what God looks like, right? We know what God looks like because we read his word and we look at each other. We bear his image. Although human, he contains the fullness of God. He still remains omniscient, omnipresent, holy, righteous, merciful, all of those things. The next one, although completely God, he desires to dwell in us fully, not partially, right? And by the way, you get all the Holy Spirit when you get saved, okay? The only thing that can happen is we decide to turn off, right? We try to satisfy the flesh. We make provision for it. We're told clearly in Romans, don't make provision for the flesh. Make provision for God. That's what we're told to do. He wants to completely, if you will, right? When we go to heaven, glorification, we are completely his. Don't wait, right? We're living in eternity right now. We're walking in eternity. Allow him, I'm talking to myself too, allow him to get rid of the dross, right? To get rid of the anger and the flaws, right? I got plenty of them. He's working on, he's bringing those things out. The way I'm going, I'm going to live to be 120, okay? He's bringing those things out. So Christ is the image of God. We are the image of Christ. Let me say that again. Christ is the image of God, and we are the image of Christ. My mom told me something one time that really hurt my feelings. She said, son, I'm not sure you're living the way you should be living, but remember this, you're the best Christian someone knows. If it depended on you. Wow. She's been gone 3 years now. That's a good word. It's a good word. If it depended on me. If it depended on me. His name is complete. He is Lord, L-O-R-D, all caps, right? He is Yahweh. He is Jesus who saves. He is Christ the Messiah. He is all of God, all in one, all in bodily form. and God has highly exalted him. That's what we're reading, right? That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God Almighty to the glory of God. He is the I Am. The same I Am that was in the burning bush with Moses is the same one that broke the bread we talked about last week. Think about how many times did he break that bread and hold it up and think to himself, someday this will be my body broken for you. That's who he is. He is the self-existing one. God defines himself. I read the other day, somebody was struggling with, the Old Testament's too hard. I don't understand God. It's not fair that he did those things. Listen, God defines himself. Whatever he does is holy because he is holy. The opposite's true for us. Our actions and character define who we are. We can say all we want, but our actions reveal. A tree is known by its fruit. God defines himself. Our actions define us. God defines humanity in his image. He created male and female only in his image, and only in Christ is our purpose revealed. So our identity in Christ is completeness. He who began a good work in you will be faithful and just, right, to complete it. That's right. That's what he's doing. We have completeness in him. So again, we are walking in Christ, as Romans tells us in 1:17, faith to faith. What is that? It's the faith to believe and the continued faith as we are sanctified. Faith to faith. God begins that, and we walk with him in that. We keep that valve open and allow. In fact, if we're not being discipled, the only thing we're doing is being disobedient and turning off that spiritual influence in our soul. Discipleship is not an option. It's the calling that we have. We don't just do discipleship, okay, or not do it. We actually allow God, or we quench the Spirit. We do not want to be those who prevent God's work in us. Romans 12, 1 and 2, you could probably recite this with me, right? As Paul says, I beseech you, right? I beg you, right? By the mercies of God that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed, right, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's where we were just at, right? Be careful, because the enemy does not want your mind renewed. If you took one thing away from today, would you be careful? Would you open your eyes? The delusion is all around us. These are great days of great delusion, but they may be some of the days I've been most encouraged, because the light seems brighter in the darkness. Yeah, there's darkness, but I think people are beginning to say, you know what, I've lived like this for too long. The kids are upstairs, but even as adults, right, we need this lesson. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. If it depended on me, if I was the best Christian someone knew, and God have mercy on that, because I know that that's not always the case. And that's not false humility. I know that. I got to live with that. But we can all do this. We can confess, and from this day forward, we can say what? Lord, grant me the grace that you might walk with me, that I might truly shine the light of Christ. And for the things that I have done, that I would be quick to confess my faults one to another, because he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That we would be transformed so that the world may be transformed in him. Let's pray. Lord, I hope this came out the way that that you wanted. But I know this, the words don't matter, because it's your hand. It's the hearing that's the miracle, not the speaking. I pray that the words that you have written would be heard in our hearts, that we might be careful to be aware of what's going on, that we might be consumed by what you've done on the cross, overwhelmed by the fact that in you all the fullness of God dwells, Jesus, and that you desire to dwell in us fully. In a nutshell, Lord, help us to walk as you would walk. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name.